So I'd like to give him an opportunity at this time to do that.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we did an update of a fiscal analysis on the reduction of the stimulus funds for subsidized employment that was part of two separate House offers. First, there was an offer of taking $4 million of the ERA money and to use for general fund purposes, and then another $5 million was added on another offer for a total of $9 million. We had earlier fiscal noted the interactive effects of a $4 million cut in the budget, not in the ERA money. The effect that a cut in supported work has is it actually increases the cost of the MFIP grant because fewer people are working. And that has an effect, I think, of about 27% of the amount of supported work funds that are cut. There is an offsetting savings to that because we assume that fewer people will need child care. And so the whole net result of that is when you cut basically $1 million of funds from the supported work program, you're getting 85 cents on the dollar. So the House is had offered the full dollar, and there's about a 15% discount that we will need to book on that. When these funds were made available last year in the conference committee, the direction of the rider that authorized the use of the funds was that these funds be used for supported work and for subsidized employment. And we've been able to, and we're expecting to earn $9 million, roughly $9 million of these ERA funds because of the success we've had in getting people into subsidized employment positions. And this $9 million, because the way the rider was constructed, we were anticipating to allocate those earnings back to counties for supported work programs in both fiscal 11 and fiscal 12. And thus, the reduction of the first the $4 million in the original House position, then the additional $9 million pretty much left us with just about $1 million left in the supported work program for fiscal 11 and nothing for fiscal 12. I think we had another document that talked about that. There still will be some money for supported work in fiscal 11, but certainly not as much as the ARA money would have provided, and also quite a bit less than what we have this year, where we feel we'll be spending about 10 to 11 million for supported work as the appropriations from prior years do allow carry forward. So we've been able to ramp up to a fairly decent sized program. Even with the ARA money, we'll have to cut back, but with the further cuts, we really won't be able to have a program in fiscal 12, and it'll be quite a small program in fiscal 11. And that's why you see some of the offsetting costs, because people won't be working, and thus their MFIP grant will have to be larger.
And Mr. Nelson, is there any potential problem with not meeting our work participation rate? I know at one time we were one of the reasons this program was created was to help us be able to not only get people into jobs that would be supported and give them training to get off the program, but also to be able to help meet the federal work participation requirements.
Madam Chair, members of the conference committee, there's a couple ways to answer that. We've under the federal rules, our target is 50% for single parent families. That's the target we're supposed to meet. We reach about 30% of a work participation rate. In the past, there have been various provisions that have been allowed that have allowed us to reduce our target, and the part of the target that's measured when it goes toward the penalty. And those kinds of provisions in the last couple years with the passage of the stimulus bill, they gave us more credit, and thus the target we have to reach is much less. So while this is an important work program, because of some of the other loosenings recently at the federal level, we probably won't have any trouble meeting our work participation meeting the work participation rate we need to meet in fiscal 11.
What about 12? Are these relaxations permanent, or are they time limited?
Madam Chair, I believe one part of the relaxation will expire, I think, in 12. And that will have a bit of an effect. I think there's another issue here too as well, because we have finally ramped up this program so that it is producing results, and if it has to be ramped down, it's going to be hard to get it ramped up again.
Well, I understand that, so we wouldn't be able to count on it in the future to meet our work participation rate, but do you anticipate in 12 or 13 it might be a problem to be able to meet our work participation rate if we don't have this tool available to us?
Madam Chair, that's a possibility, yes.
Thank you. Are there other questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. So can you just kind of maybe over the last 5 years tell us what your funding has been for this program?
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, I guess I'd have to go back to my notes. The program was created, I believe, in the 2007 session, and got off to a fairly slow start. I believe there was an $11 million appropriation at one point. Then a $7 million appropriation. There was carry forward funds. There was carry forward provisions that were allowed. And then last year there was an appropriation of 4.7 for 10 and fiscal 11. But I can get you much more detail on that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen, part of the reason for the reduction in the appropriation last biennium was because of the anticipated ability of the department to backfill with the ARRA funds.
And I understand that, Madam Chair. Thank you. Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Okay. Is that 4.7 a year?
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, that was 4.7 for fiscal 10 and for fiscal 11.
For each year.
And what's the amount of the carry forward? What's your carry forward balance right now?
We're uncertain what the carry forward is going to be. We allocated out, I think, around $11 million for this fiscal year. I think the major counties are expecting to spend most of their money. So we don't really have a firm number. We're thinking there might be $1 million to $2 million of carry forward when everything is closed in September. And that's just the regular appropriation.
And Madam Chair, and then the ARRA funding was $13 million.
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, the ARRA funding was $9 million.
For fiscal year 11, starting in September.
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, that the ARRA funding is what we think will fully earn, but not have spent by the end of September. And then we were going to take the ARRA funding and the earnings and spread them across fiscal 11 and fiscal 12, so that we wouldn't have a huge cliff in fiscal 12. So we were roughly going to allocate $7 million out in fiscal 11 and $7 million out in fiscal 12. And then, of course, after that, there was a cliff. There would be no more money. But to spread it out so that the counties and the workforce centers wouldn't have to pull back as far as they might.
Well, and I think, Mr. Nelson, it's fair to say that the investments that we are planning to make would potentially be able to earn us more federal money for this activity that then could be used to continue the program into the future for some period of time.
Madam Chair, that's true. In next quarter, we'll be able to earn a little bit more money, and that's included in that nine that we're estimating. And then if there's 60 votes in the Senate to reauthorize the TANF Emergency Fund, along with some of the other needs out there. Then we will, since we've got this base built up, we will be able to earn some more funds from that source, if it should come about. But you know, we're not banking on it right now.
Well, you never want to bank on money that hasn't been appropriated by Congress. On the other hand, I think most places around here we're trying not to limit the opportunities that we could have.
Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
So when we were making that budget decision last year, at best we were anticipating about $44 million in emergency TANF, and now we're anticipating receiving about $82 million. It's one of the frustrations I have here is that you got this influx of $40 million. We're facing a big budget shortfall. You know, we took 28, 32 now, I suppose, right, of that. But there's some additional money that was unanticipated when we set our budgets before. And so when we're doing cuts to all these other places, it seems to me fair to ask the question, why not, in some sense, we're holding you harmless.
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, we've talked about this a bit. One thing that has happened recently is I believe the TANF folks in Washington have realized that states aren't spending the money because in order to get the money, you have to spend and you get an 80% reimbursement. So we've seen several instances where they've really stretched their rules to allow states to earn the money and to allow them to claim the credit that, that they're getting the money out there. One of the biggest instances that we saw was when they declared that tax credits were in the category short-term non-recurrent benefits, and treating tax credits as if they were emergency assistance, which normally is housing, rental, damage deposit, that sort of thing. So that that took us by surprise, but we were happy to apply for the money, that exceeded exceeded $30 million. So that's a lot of it. The other thing, about a year ago, we didn't know some of the other federal rules. We had to apply for this money in the subsidized employment category. We didn't know if we even had the data that they would require, because we really never worked real hard to find out exactly how much wages and benefits that people were receiving through the work programs, because it was something that's coded in Maxis, but there was more of a need for providing more exact information as part of this, and we had to go back to create a base in fiscal year 07, and luckily supported work had just started, so our base is next to zero, and the base is what you compare to your current spending and receive the federal reimbursement on 80% of that. So we got lucky there.
Right, and Madam Chair, and I understand that, but the point is, as we are making these, as we're planning our spending and our cuts, within the last year, this area has gotten $40 million plus more dollars than was anticipated last year when we set the budget.
Well, I anticipated we would be getting it.
Well, they didn't. The department didn't.
Well,
you anticipated you get part of it. You didn't anticipate the whole amount. And he just said that, Madam Chair.
We didn't know exactly how much we would get, but we knew by investing money in that area that we were going to be able to get some more federal money.
Right, about 40-some million dollars, and we're actually getting $83 million. So the point I'm making is, as we're making cuts and having to make these hard choices in all these other programs where people are actually losing money, this is a program that has started in 07, and I think it's exactly the direction we need to go. But in these difficult times, when you've ramped up from $1 million a year to $10 million plus a year, in that kind of order, and then get a windfall of $40 million, in a sense, I think it's fair to question whether we should be using those monies in a different way.
Well, Representative Thiessen, I think what Mr. Nelson just said is that all of that money was not for supported work.
It was for the tax credits, but it's all being used in that area. And we refinanced $28 million of it.
It is not all being used in that area, Representative.
And for poor people, we refinanced most of the stuff that the $28 million that you agreed to, that we agreed to, that everybody agreed to.
We haven't agreed to quite that much, but I think so. What Mr. Nelson, didn't you just say that some of that money came for emergency housing assistance?
That's right, Madam Chair. That was the source that I believe you had on your spreadsheet, about $25 million for that emergency assistance, and we basically advised the counties that they could open their programs up. They had been cutting back on their programs because emergency assistance is funded out of a fixed block grant, the MFIP Consolidated Fund, and we worked with the counties. In last year's legislation, you gave them a target. You said you shall spend at least what you spent in one of the base years. We called it a target. We said that if you spend up to this amount out of your consolidated fund, The amount above that, we will fund from the TANF emergency fund. So we track this on a daily basis, and you know, once you get into that third month of the quarter, it's all by the quarter. Then the spigot from the state gets turned on after an individual county has passed that target, and that has taken a while to ramp up. And of course, this whole program was passed by the legislature in May, but it went back to October. So it was the federal fiscal year, and we hadn't had a chance. Nobody knew about it, so you didn't ramp up your spending before the federal bill had passed. So we've worked with the counties. The counties know that there's a lot of needs out there, and have changed. Some of them have changed their policies, and have opened up. And as a result, we've been earning these emergency funds for that category.
So, Mr. Nelson, I just wanted that clarified so that we don't get some idea that there's, you know, $80 million or something for supported work coming from the federal government that we didn't anticipate, because that's not true.
And I didn't say that.
Are there any other questions? Now, thank you very much. We finished with Mr. Nelson. Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair and members, this is our mixed offer, and the details. I'll go through it, and then John Walls may have to answer questions. But we are going to, number one, accept the delay in hospital rebasing. That's worth $103 million. We're going to accept taking the mental health portion out of the specialist provider rateable decrease. That's a cost of $1 million. We are going to accept the Senate DISH revenue from CPE. That's $23 million. And we are going to accept the Senate reduction in adoption assistance. And five, we are going to accept the Senate inpatient rateable hospital reduction of 0.5%, which is worth $96 million. Costing us $96 million. Yeah. From our point of view, that's costing us $96 million. The House will remove the governor's delay in hospital rebasing. That is costing us 12.8. And the House will add $110,000 to the fiscal year 2010 food shelf spending. And number eight, $100,000 to the MFAP spending. And lastly, the House adds children's inpatient DRG rate increases. This is to try to protect the children hospitals that have markedly different percentages of people on MA, and that is a cost of $16.7 million.
Are there any questions?
What do you mean, two projects? Oh, yeah. In fact, I got to run upstairs and talk to our leadership, the House leadership.
Senator Pretner-Solar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question about from the House about the children's inpatient DRG rate increase. Is that statewide?
Yes.
It is statewide.
Madam Chair, yeah, that is a statewide program.
Okay.
But it affects three children's hospitals, isn't that correct?
No, it's DRG.
No, it's every hospital that has an inpatient children's will get this rate increase, whether it's Gillette, the children's hospitals down here, or St. Cloud Hospital, or Hennepin County Medical Center, wherever.
It's an increase in DRG rates for certain selected codes.
Across the board.
Related to, yeah, for every hospital.
Well, I suppose probably one of these rounds will cut hospital Medicaid rates again to pay for another DRG increase for somebody, right?
No,
I don't think so.
Well, we need to recess. I would estimate 10:30. In recess.
We had greasy bar food.
Are you going to be around here? Or
somewhere called the Shamma, like on the edge of St. Paul. I've never been there.
So, the pavilions?
It was like,
yeah.
I had walleye fingers.